Next on BYUSN, it's a game day eve for Cougar football as BYU heads to Tucson to take on Arizona tomorrow night. What would a win or a loss to the Wildcats mean for the season? We'll preview the game with ESPN play-by-play announcer Mike Cousins, who's calling it. Which matchups are must-watch for him?
Former Cougar and current Minnesota Viking Tyler Batty and his epic beard are this week's Big 12 Pick'em guest picker. Why does he believe BYU can and will win on the road in Tucson? Plus, Heather Olmstead and Claire Little Chambers of BYU Women's Volleyball discuss why tomorrow's pink match against Houston is about way more than just volleyball.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Friday, October 10th, game day, baby. Presented by the BYU Store, as mentioned. I am Jerem Jordan. He is BYUSN weatherman, live from the great city of Tucson. I enjoyed the segment yesterday you did on the show. Now that you're in Tucson, what are you seeing and feeling on the Doppler with all the weather words, Spencer, regarding the rain potentially tomorrow?
Jerem, we're expecting embedded thunderstorms as the pressures combine here in the southwest. Here, Hurricane Priscilla and the remnants of the chaos that has caused are certainly headed for Tucson. I know there are reports out there that BYU's game against Arizona might actually slide back or slide up to preventing us. There's been no official word. And frankly, from what we're hearing, there is no official word. Like, we're planning on playing at 5 p.m. Arizona time, rain or shine, whatever is in the mix, Jerem. They're going to be ready. So we got our ponchos, we got a few umbrellas, and we're ready to rock.
But regardless of the weather, it's still hard to know what time it is in Arizona at any point of the year. Am I right?
Indeed. Ask me and my alarm clock this morning.
My mom lived there for 17 years. And I was like, what time is it there? Is it an hour before? Or are we the same? I have no idea, as you tell.
But I don't know.
Regardless, we're excited for BYU and Arizona coming up tomorrow night. It's going to be a fun matchup. Let's go. All rise and shout. You know what time it is. It's time for What's Trending.
Now it's back out on the conference road for a tussle in Tucson.
It's going to be loud. It's going to be exciting.
And so we got to bring our A game.
You know how BYU is. We're going to run the ball. Well, you know, rain, shine, snow, whatever.
Oh, yeah, we're ready. We're ready for the monsoon. Let's go.
Might not be a monsoon, as Spencer chronicled a moment ago. The 5-0, 18th-ranked BYU Cougars taking on the 4-1 Arizona Wildcats. Toughest game yet for BYU. Going to be fun on ESPN 2 and BYU Radio. Cougars favored by as many as 2.5 points. A host of BYU Blues going to be in the stands. We expect a lot of Cougar Nation to be there. So let's talk about the stakes in this one, Spence. What would a win, what would a loss mean for BYU in this game?
Jerem, you and I were discussing earlier this week just how important momentum is for BYU. They certainly have it on their side at 5-0. And they're beginning what their offensive coordinator, Aaron Roderick, called the most difficult stretch in BYU football history. And it starts with Arizona. So you, like I know, with momentum on the mind, understand that a loss can turn into two and into three very quickly. I mean, the 2023 BYU squad found out about that the hard way. So what BYU cannot afford to have happen here is a setback against Arizona, because now you're staring down Utah, and then you got to go to Ames. Then you have a bye week, yes, but you got to follow up the bye week with Texas Tech and TCU and a Cincinnati team that we feel like has a legitimate chance to make a dark horse run to the Big 12 championship game all in a row. So if BYU loses this game, they lose the critical element of momentum going back home to take on Utah. Now it's like, oh man, we lost. What do we do? Now we got to gather ourselves for a rivalry game and all the emotion involved. I feel like this game is a swing pivot game.
Amen.
For the season. And if BYU loses against Arizona, they're behind schedule now. If they beat Arizona, they're a little ahead of schedule. But if they lose, it feels like they're just clearly behind schedule and in scramble mode. This is a critical game. If BYU finds a way to win and get to 6-0, then I stand by my 9-3, 10-2 potential. If they lose this game, Jerem, weirdly, I know it's only one game. It's like, oh man, could BYU drop to 8-4, even 7-5 if they don't figure this out in this critical stretch? It feels like just a wildly important game for BYU's overall momentum and their ability to legitimately make a push to the Big 12 championship game. If they want to be in Dallas and be in that conversation, tomorrow feels like 100% a must win. How do you see it?
Amen. If you're a Big 12 contender, and BYU hopes it is, you have to win a game like this because it's not even one of the toughest games on the schedule. Arizona's good, but we don't know how good. We're going to find out how good BYU is in the next six games, right? This stretch. Aaron Roderick said it on Monday. It's been a theme this week. He's right. It is the toughest six-game stretch in BYU football history. So when you're 6-0, we still don't know how good BYU is, which is crazy. Normally a 6-0 BYU, we go, whoa, really good team. They're going to contend for XYZ. We still wouldn't know because the beef of the schedule hasn't happened. Bowl eligibility, by the way, is at stake, which is crazy. I know you brought that up Monday. I was like, oh, yeah, that. The chance to go 4-3 or better in the final seven is up for grabs, too. If BYU loses this game, they're probably going to go 3-4. I know a lot of people have reached out to us on social media and been like, what are you talking about? It's less about BYU and more about the opponent in this situation. If BYU had blown out Colorado and West Virginia, this would be a different conversation. They did not. They needed to put up two more touchdowns. Don't give it away so much against a bad West Virginia team and so on and so forth. This is the, is BYU a Big 12 title contender? We still won't know the answer if BYU wins, but they will stay in the conversation. It is a swing game, as you mentioned.
Yes.
If BYU wins, it also shows the maturity of this BYU team, which we think they are mature. That's never been a thing that BYU has not been discussed about. Looking at Utah next week, this is technically a trap game, Spence, because it's a BYU team that's favored on the road with Utah looming. This is a trap game. They've got to dial in. They've got to be focused in this one. Also, it would be a depth flex if they win this game. We don't expect Jack Kelly to play in this game, probably. He's not been ruled out. He's questionable. But certainly, that's tough. Isaiah Glasgow banged up a little bit as well. Sione Moa's still out. They need those running backs to show up. They need Ace Kafusi to have a big game. Should he be the Jack Kelly replacement and so on and so forth. So this is a big one because we know BYU's good. We just don't know how good. And if they're really good, they go and win this game, and then they match up with Utah, and that's an entirely different challenge.
To add to your roster and personnel conversation, Jerem, it feels like BYU is going to have to play a lot of nickel against a pass-heavy attack. I know it's going to rain, but Arizona's still going to try and throw the ball with Noah Fifita. And is Tommy Prassis going to play? Jonathan Cabea was listed as probable. Are either of those guys even going to be available and in Arizona to play? If not, then that part of BYU's roster is going to be tested in depth as well. So linebackers, safeties, like, yeah, this is an opportunity for BYU to say, hey, we're ready, we're truly a next man up, and we can still be okay. We'll find out at multiple positions tomorrow night. And I know some people are saying, well, BYU's ranked too. They don't want to lose the national ranking. That feels very secondary.
Yeah, just win.
Just winning the game and keeping the momentum.
Yep, just win. And by the way, Tavion Beasley would be your starting nickel.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so we've discussed what a win and loss means for BYU against Arizona. Which matchup inside the game, maybe a player against a player or a position group versus another position group, will have the biggest impact on the result of Saturday night's game?
I believe it will be the BYU passing offense against the Arizona passing defense. This is a desert swarm, I've been calling it, that has been really impressive defensively so far this year. They have not played a team like BYU quite yet. They have not allowed a passing touchdown. That's going to end. Chase Roberts told me as much earlier this week. Chase Roberts, Parker Kingston coming off 100-yard receiving games, Bear Bachmeyer with his best passing game. That kind of confidence and film changes the game plan for Arizona defensively. BYU's offensive drop-back success rate, 37th in the country. That's decent. Certainly could be higher. They've focused more on the run. But Arizona's drop-back defensive success rate is second in the country, Spence, at 30%. They really limit you when you try and pass the ball in terms of how many yards you get on what down. So that matchup's going to be interesting. 7 interceptions, 11 takeaways total for Arizona. That's one of the best in the country. If BYU takes care of the ball and they can be explosive at times in the pass game, that'll be good. Yet, BYU is defined by its run game. They have to be able to run to set up the pass, and I think they will.
Yeah, it's funny how these conversations go because football is so intricate and it's like a spider web. So the matchups that you bring up, very valid. But it's all intertwined with what I'm going to bring up, and that is BYU's offensive line against Arizona's defensive front and their big guys up front. Because can BYU protect Bear Bachmeyer against the exotic looks that Arizona is certainly going to show. And in a strange game with weather, like how clean can you keep Bear Bachmeier so that he does have the ability to hit a big play and BYU can do, at least in some capacity, what they did against West Virginia and really stretch the field to Chase Roberts and others and score some touchdowns through the air. So how does BYU handle the unique and exotic packages defensively up front from Arizona to hold off their blitzers and their different rushes? And can Bear Bachmeier handle the road environment and that pressure once again? Because, as you pointed out, this is going to be the best defense that BYU has faced all year. I don't think anybody's questioning that. How do they do that? And also the offensive line for BYU needs to establish the run and help LJ Martin and whoever else is going to play running back break loose. Can BYU get a push up front and take some of the pressure off Bear Bachmeier and find a way in a game that could be just an absolute slog, drenched? I know it's a turf field, but like we anticipate they'll be very, very wet with a ton of precipitation. BYU's run game is going to be paramount if they're going to do that, and they have to win that matchup in the trenches for sure.
And because it will be wet, they may not pass as much as they would. But when it's there, do you take advantage is what I'm thinking. Our question of the day is this. What would a win over Arizona mean for BYU's season? At LJ Pearson 1 on X. Validation. Went on the road against a very good team in Hurricane. Will make a Big 12 statement. Go Cougs. It makes a statement if they win big, but I don't think BYU's worried about that. I think BYU's just worried about winning. The statement would come if there was margin there, Spence, and I think that'd have to be like 17-plus, if you will, maybe 21-plus. But I'm not worried about that. I just want to win. If they win by one, I'm happy.
Just win. Absolutely. This feels it feels like a game that BYU played against Utah or Oklahoma State or even Baylor last year. Just find a way to win the game. It doesn't matter. You're in conference, and you're on the road, too. So if BYU kicks a field goal at the buzzer to win by one or three, fine. Like, I'm all for it. No one's going to say, well, BYU should have beaten Arizona by more. They're only a 1 to 2 point favorite, depending on where you're looking. So we anticipate a close game. Just win it.
Yes, just win it. Atone for the 06 loss there when BYU lost by a field goal at the very end. They did win in 2018, just saying. Kalani Sitake 4-0 against Arizona. Add Jimmy Chesh on X. Bowl eligibility. Oh, yeah, that. Although the goals are way bigger than that, but that's kind of your first goal, right? Get to a bowl game.
Yeah, certainly. And it keeps BYU in line. Like, if you get to 6-0, we feel good about 9 wins. And if BYU has 9 wins, then maybe, Jerem, they're playing in one of those big-time bowl games that we chronicled a few days earlier. And they're in the Pop-Tarts Bowl or the Alamo Bowl or the Texas Bowl. Like, BYU is going to have to be a 9-win team to qualify for one of those better bowl games. And that probably, you would think, includes a win against Arizona. Okay, let's call a football timeout for the moment, Jerem, and get to the blue-white scrimmage and Marriott Madness from last night for the fans in attendance. First look at A.J. DeBonsa and others in a BYU uniform. What were your main takeaways from that shortened, unique scrimmage last night?
That A.J. looks good in blue and white. great juice in the building. Students showed out. It was awesome. Great event. I take nothing from the on-court stuff, just more vibes, more aura, as the kids say. Remember Trevin Nell went 1 of 10 from 3 last year, and we had to calm fans down that didn't mean anything. It didn't translate, right? It's fun. Richie Saunders had 15 points in the 20-minute scrimmage. No Rob Wright, Brody Kozlowski, Dawson Baker, Nate Pickens. They are kind of resting and rehabbing. No one's out for the year. They're all going to be back for the season, it sounds like, which is good. And so they kept them out. Richie Saunders made 10 straight threes in the three-point competition. Delaney Gibb, Mariah Hudgens went off, which was cool. Tyler Morris made a bunch of threes. It's going to be a fun season for men and women's basketball, and they showcased that last night. That's what I take away from it.
My overreaction to all of this is Richie Saunders is going to make like 150 three-pointers this season.
Hey, he might, dude.
he looked super confident shooting the ball, and he has been working really hard, not surprisingly, knowing Richie, at that specific part of his game. He's told us on the show, like, I'm really trying to get better at creating space and being able to widen or not widen, but push back that three-point line almost so that I'm even more of a viable weapon that way, like that. It just feels like BYU has dogs on that men's team, Jerem. Like, they're just BYU's got guys, and they feel like a legitimate top 10 team. It's fun to watch and see that type of talent in the Marriott Center. It's going to be an unbelievably entertaining year.
Yeah, AJ making buckets in the Marriott Center. I mean, this is still – I mean, we haven't even started with this. We started last night, technically. It's amazing. I can't wait to watch it. Can't wait, man. Think about it. Next week, BYU's playing a game at Nebraska. Week after that, UNC in Salt Lake. Week and a half after that, Villanova in Vegas. Then we get going for real. Woo! Let's go. Tomorrow night, it's for real. BYU at Arizona, number 18 Cougs. Getting ready, pregame shows, 6 Eastern time on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Number 18, BYU at Arizona at 8 Eastern on ESPN2 and BYU Radio. Of course, postgame on BYU TV, BYU Radio. Right after, the best from Spencer Linton on the field. Up next, Tyler Batty of the Minnesota Vikings is this week's Big 12 guest picker. Can he take down Tanner Mangum's 6-1 record? This is BYU Sports Nation.
I'm really grateful for the time I had at BYU.
And he goes down! Tyler Batty got him! Coming up with it is Tyler Batty! It's an INT!
Tyler Batty's only been gone 5 games, yet we really miss him. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Spencer Linton, Provo, and Tucson. We now welcome the aforementioned Tyler Batty, who plays for the Minnesota Vikings, working through an injury right now. Tyler, welcome to the program. Great to have you, and we appreciate the time, man. We're so excited you're with the Vikings, and that beard looks amazing.
Thanks, man. It's great to be back.
What's it been like to be an NFL player? I know you got an injury, but you made the roster. You're on the reserve. They wanted to keep you. How you doing? What's that all been like?
It's been awesome. You know, it's been great. Minnesota gave me an opportunity to go out there and work, and that we did, man. It was a great camp. Of course, made the 53. Got banged up in our last preseason game, and so getting placed on IR was a little tricky, a little unfortunate. But the rehab process has gone well, and shoot, man, we're ready to get back into the action.
Tyler, not many men can grow a beard of that magnitude. So out of sheer curiosity, how long did it take you to do that? Because you look like you could be in the show Vikings right now.
I think about April we started, letting it grow out, and here we are. So, about 6 months later, it's came in well. Had to trim it. The wife said, "Hey, you look a little homeless. You need to go trim your beard." So I did. It's been fun.
BYU's 5-0. They do it again, just like you guys did last year, getting to 9-0. We hope that happens too. What have you made of what BYU's done, repeating an undefeated start?
I think it's just a testament to, again, the culture that Kalani's established. And of course, the coaches across the board. I think we have a super talented coaching staff at BYU. They put guys in the right positions to be successful. And the guys have then taken that and went and been disciplined enough to make it happen on the field. Execution and not turning the ball over there. Also, all those things that play into it, they've done a great job.
It's been fun to watch. We hope it's 6-0 after Arizona Saturday night. Time now for Big 12 Pick'em. Let's give you the guest picker scoreboard, see what you're up against here. Tanner Mangum was spectacular in week number 1, going 6-1. Dennis Pitta, 5-2. Jonathan Tavernari tied him, 5-2. Philip Bowen last week, 4-3. Alema Harrington, 3-4. So that's your competition, Tyler. We begin with game number 1. Houston looking to bounce back, taking on Oklahoma State. Who you got in this one?
I'm gonna take Houston. They've been on a roll. They've got a good team this year, so I've got Houston on that one.
Yeah, give me Houston. I think that there are too many issues still brewing at Oklahoma State, understandably with the loss of Mike Gundy. I think Houston's gonna win and win convincingly.
Connor Wegman, their quarterback, got a concussion, left 4 straight punts for Houston, but he's not on the injury report as being out, so we expect him to play in this one. Regardless, give me Houston as well. Houston, a trio there. Game number 2, UCF looking for its first conference win on the road at 2-0 in hot Cincinnati. Tyler, who you got?
I'm going to take UCF here as well.
Whoa.
That may be a little controversial there, but I'm going to take UCF on the road. I think they can get it done.
Controversial to say the least, Tyler. But hey, you know what? You go with your gut, and my gut happens to believe that the Bearcats are the real deal, and there will be no big win hangover for Cincinnati after absolutely dismantling Iowa State. Cincinnati flexes once again and wins this game. Jerem?
Yeah, I think Brendan Sorsby's on fire right now for Cincinnati. Give me Cincinnati as well. Game number three, Kansas heading to number 9, Texas Tech. Tyler, Texas Tech looks real good. Do you have Kansas in an upset in this one?
No. I don't have Kansas here. I'm rolling with Texas Tech. I think I think they're hot. I think they've got it. I think they're taking home the dub.
Barring something absolutely drastic happening to Texas Tech's roster, I don't see it. I believe in the Red Raiders and what they're doing, and they have figured out NIL and gelling with all their new pieces. I am truly impressed with this squad. I think they win convincingly as well and further solidify themselves as the team to beat in the Big 12.
The Fighting Cody Campbells are interesting, right? With Texas Tech, clearly the number one team in the league right now. But if there's any team that could surprise them, it's the offense of Kansas. Jalen Daniels is really good, and that offense is explosive. But give me Texas Tech as well. Game number 4, TCU heads to the Little Apple, Manhattan, to take on Kansas State. Horned Frogs, a small favorite. Who you got, Tyler?
We got TCU on this one again. Sticking with another Texas school. I think TCU has shown, you know, a bit of potential in what they can do, and so I think they're gonna win that one.
Tyler, you can't go wrong in this game because both teams wear purple, and now you wear purple, so there is no wrong selection. I am going to choose the other purple here. I feel like Kansas State is on the verge of finally breaking through and getting a much-needed signature win, frankly, for their bowl hopes. I feel like the desperation is real, and they're at home. Different team in Manhattan than playing in Waco against Baylor. They do just enough. They finally break through against a good team. It's Kansas State. Jerem?
Kansas State's purple sometimes can be lavender. So I don't know if you're an essential oils guy, Spence, or whatnot, but I do like TCU in this one. I think they have, again, an explosive offense. Give me the Horned Frogs in this one. Game number 5, number 22, Iowa State looking to bounce back from its first loss on the road at Colorado. Who wins this one, Tyler?
Iowa. Yeah, we're going with Iowa State. I think they're going to get it done. That's all I'll say.
They're so well coached, Tyler. I don't fault you at all for that. And the Cyclones are just so consistent. However, I do have a little bit concerned because they haven't been a great road team. They struggled against Arkansas State on the road, certainly ran into a buzzsaw at Cincinnati. They're on the road again. In the words of Deion Sanders, the Buffaloes are going to do the daggum thing, and they're going to win the game, Jerem.
We coming? Is that what he's saying? I have Iowa State. I just don't think that Colorado is Cincinnati. What we saw was crazy, right? And Colorado's really struggled. They're trying to figure it out on offense. Good to see Deion back out at practice. I know he's had some clots in his foot and leg. Iowa State, game 6, number 21, Arizona State in Salt Lake City to take on Utah. Sam Levitt, questionable for this one at quarterback for the Sun Devils. Who you got in this one, Tyler?
We got the Sun Devils. Come on. No question.
You got the Cactus Utes.
You're gonna pick that other team? I don't think so.
That rivalry with ASU is real, though, right? Like, there's some real negative feelings from that game last year.
I think it's been awesome to have, you know, this new conference and kind of develop those new rivalries. But, we still got ASU in this one.
Tyler holding it down for BYU fans, and I don't think anybody's going to argue with that, my friend. I always feel like I need to offer a premeditated apology before I pick Utah to win a game on this program, so I'm sorry again, but Sam Levitt not playing, they're on the road. Utah knows that they haven't won a Big 12 home game. I think they finally figure it out. Whoa, what do we got? Things flying behind me. You guys, you see that catch? Let's
go. That was a good grab.
Good reflexes. There we go.
We'll
still got it.
Chase Roberts, dude. Nice. Okay, yeah. Can both teams lose in this game? Cactus Utes and Utes? I mean, is there any way? Can you tie like in the NFL? Like we saw on Sunday Night Football a couple weeks ago? I have Utah winning this game as well. They finally win a Big 12 home game, which is weird to think, right? Give me Utah on that one. I hate saying that, too. And finally, number 18, BYU, taking on Arizona. Why will BYU win, Tyler?
You know, I think it comes down to the simple formula that had all season thus far that's put them at 5-0. One, limit turnovers on offense, get the ball down the field, get in the end zone. They've done a really good job of that. You know, Bear has really taken care of the ball, and that's key to winning games. And BYU's defense, it's the same thing, right? They're going to go out, they're going to execute, they're going to dominate, they're going to force turnovers, and BYU's going to come home with that W.
Typically, when bad weather is in play, the team with more discipline and more consistency will find a way to win, and that includes all the things that Tyler just talked about on the BYU side. If it's a true slog, I like BYU's coaching, consistency, and discipline to do just enough to get out of here at 6-0.
I think BYU controls the game on the ground with LJ Martin and Bear Bachmeier and company. I think they have an explosive passing offense, one that Arizona is yet to see. They haven't given up a passing touchdown. They're going to give up a couple in this one. BYU will beat Arizona, and there will be a ton of Cougar fans there to see it. It's going to be awesome. It will avenge the 2006 loss, Spencer, the game we went to as students when we drove down. I know they won in 2018, but I still am sad about that loss. Tyler, great stuff. We appreciate the time. We know you're in Utah for the bye week. Best of luck, and we hope to see you soon with the Vikings.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Tyler Batty on BYU Sports Nation. We appreciate him and that amazing beard being on the show. Women's soccer, big game on the road at number 14 Baylor tonight. 8 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Select to Ellie Walbrook and the Cougs. Coming up, Heather Olmstead and Claire Little Chambers of BYU Women's Volleyball discuss why tomorrow's pink match against Houston is about more than volleyball. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to a Game Day Eve edition of BYU Sports Nation in Studio B. Jerem Jordan alongside Spencer Linton live outside of Arizona Stadium in Tucson, Arizona. Time now for today's headline, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Number 18 BYU football in the aforementioned Tucson to take on Arizona in a massive Big 12 conference game. BYU currently a 2.5-point favorite on the road over the Wildcats. Pregame coverage begins at 6 Eastern, live on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
BYU's most recent updated availability report for the Arizona game has cornerback Marcus McKenzie added to the players listed out. Defensive tackle Anisi Purcell joins Jack Kelly as doubtful for the game. Running back Enoch Nawahine upgraded to questionable. Linebackers Isaiah Glasker, Siale Asera, Miles Hall, Nakitu Okoye remain probable, along with nickelback Jonathan Cabea.
For Cougars in the NFL, we begin with Puka Nacua and the Los Angeles Rams. They're in Baltimore to take on Kyle Van Noy and the Ravens. Fred Warner and the 49ers in Tampa face the Buccaneers. Taysom Hill and Michael Davis, who's new to the Saints, will host Kyrus Tonga and the New England Patriots. Then Andy Reid, Kingsley Suamata'i, and the Chiefs play the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football.
That's a great game. Zach Wilson and the Dolphins host the Chargers. Ryan Rico and the Bengals travel to Green Bay to play Chris Brooks. Zane Anderson and the Packers. And Brady Christensen and the Panthers host the Cowboys.
We talked about it yesterday. Marriott Madness for BYU men's basketball in their blue and white scrimmage as well. As we get closer to the start of basketball season, A.J. DeBonta scored 9 points, had 5 assists in his first action in a BYU uniform. Richie Saunders led all scorers with 15 points. Of note, Rob Wright III, Dawson Baker, Brody Kozlowski, and Nate Pickens did not play, but head coach Kevin Young said that none were held out with long-term injuries.
Number 21 women's volleyball hosts Houston tomorrow in their annual breast cancer awareness pink match at the Smithfield House. Coverage begins at 3 Eastern time on ESPN+.
BYU women's soccer playing their third straight road game tonight at number 14 ranked Baylor. Huge opportunity. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
Number 6 men's cross country will compete in the Steve Reeder Memorial Invitational hosted by Utah State later this afternoon. Best of luck to the boys.
Congrats to Marty Lopp and Mattia Reyna, BYU men's swim and dive, who each received Big 12 weekly awards. Lopp named the Men's Diver of the Week, Reyna named the Men's Newcomer of the Week.
And good luck to men's volleyball alum Keone Thim and current player Trent Mosier, who are representing Team USA against Canada later today in the Norseca Final Six Tournament.
Speaking of volleyball, yesterday I had a chance to speak with the head coach of BYU women's volleyball, Heather Olmstead, and one of her stars, Claire Little Chambers, to preview the aforementioned pink match against Houston and discuss why this specific opportunity is way bigger than just volleyball. Heather and Claire, great to have you with us as always. We're now into Big 12 conference play, so a few matches in. This is a question for both of you. How would you assess BYU's play at this juncture of a long season? Coach, we'll start with you.
Yeah, it's been exciting. We had two weekends, one at home and one on the road for the Big 12. We had a great non-conference sequence for us, a lot of good matches, a lot of good lessons learned. And then as you enter the Big 12 conference, always going to learn more lessons about yourself. And we've done that at home and on the road. We had a great road trip last week. Found out a lot about ourselves. I like the way our team has been fighting and working on little things to improve their game. And so it's a good opportunity this week as we ramp up to play Houston on Saturday, just to keep getting better and honing our craft and finding ways to just get that 1% better.
Claire, what would you add to that?
I would just add, I think everything Heather said was awesome. It's been a huge challenge for us, and we've excelled and gone back to practice and absolutely just worked hard. And so I'm excited to see how we're going to compete this week.
Yeah, it does impact how you approach practice. And so often teams and players, frankly, you grow the most when you encounter adversity and you deal with losses. So how have those losses helped you get better, Claire?
I would just say, every team brings us something different and something new. And just each season does too. And so reflecting on where I was last season and this season, I just keep working hard to improve little skills that this particular team needs me to accomplish. And so I would just say, like, the challenge has been awesome. And I'm excited for another challenge this week and to just keep getting better at little things like that.
They just keep coming.
Yeah.
You know, the challenges keep on coming in this conference with high-level volleyball. Coach, what specifically have you seen from your team in terms of growth through some of the hard lessons?
Yeah, I think just having a new team, new pieces, new players, they've done a great job learning our system, competing together. They have so much fun. They love each other. They play for each other. They fight. And that's been great to see. You know, they're doing everything we ask of them. And so if we can get a little bit better in some of these specific areas, serving, passing, limit some of our errors, they know that. We've talked about that. Those are the things we've been working on this week. And you're always excited to put it to the test against an opponent like we will on Saturday.
Claire, we've referenced all the buzzwords in volleyball: digs, blocks, big swings and kills. What gets you the most excited? Like, what play is like, yes, I am energized?
I think it depends on the teammate and, like, what the situation was. So, like, if it's a block, I'm, like, I'm always going crazy on BK's blocks or anyone's blocks. But if it's a swing, Suli's got some nasty, nasty line swings. And it just, Alex's dumps. It's everything. It's everything. It's just playing together and, like, seeing your teammates like really accomplish their skills. That's the most fun to me.
Coach, you're very tempered. You know, you have a very calm demeanor, which is probably important in that coaching role. But what play is like inside has you doing cartwheels in your head like, that was awesome?
Yeah, I know Claire just talked about all her teammates. She didn't bring up herself, but I mean, when Claire gets a big kill, so at West Virginia, there's a ball and I'm like yelling tip, tip, and it happens a lot. And she'll just hammer it out of system. And then I'm just like, oh, she usually doesn't hear me yelling tip, but she'll just hammer it out of system. I think those type of plays, when they do something that they've worked on and that they have a lot of just love for, you know, hitting out of system, you know, Claire knows she has a good arm. When they get a really good pass of something they've been working on, like, I get excited for them, but it's true. Getting excited for each other is the strength of our team, and Claire's no different, but she does a lot of nice things, and I saw her get pretty excited on Saturday over a lot of good things, and she's continuing to grow her game, and so we need that, and it's she's going to just keep getting better this season.
Love that dynamic. Sorry, Coach, didn't hear you. I was too busy absolutely pummeling that volleyball and scoring. All right, let's turn our attention specifically to Saturday and the match against Houston. This is a layered matchup because it carries some emotional ties as well. It's the cancer awareness match or pink match, but you're wearing two colors there because there are two colors involved in breast cancer awareness, Heather. So what does this match mean to you and the team?
Yeah, we'll be wearing these little quarter zips on Saturday, just bringing awareness to breast cancer. And obviously it affects women. 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer, but of those diagnosed of cancer, less than 1% is male. And so a couple years ago, my dad got diagnosed with breast cancer, and that brought awareness to my family and to the fact that, men can be diagnosed, and just being an advocate for yourself, obviously helping educate our players as they're women, it's gonna affect them in some way, and it has already, people on our team in different ways with family members and such. And so just wanted to be a part of that awareness and, really just let people know, male and female, and, to just be the best advocates they can for themselves.
Oh, love the imagery involved there and, and what it means, because it is bigger than the match for sure. So Claire, for you to be involved in a match like this, what does that mean to you?
I think Heather has done a great job at sharing her experiences and allowing all the teammates to share their experiences with this particular subject. And so going into this week, like, it's this balance of understanding the significance of this game, but also just making sure we go out and play volleyball and, do that. And I think just, I've always talked about it in different aspects, but playing this sport can just bring such a light to the community. And so I think this is a great opportunity to bring a light to a not so happy situation, but just like create that awareness, like Heather was saying.
The community matters a lot.
Yeah.
Like, and it carries a significant pull, and it just, man, it impacts so many people. So love that you are doing this and you're casting a spotlight on this and bringing awareness. We'll finish with this question, and it's for both of you. What has you most excited about, not just the match against Houston on Saturday, but what lies ahead for BYU volleyball? Claire, we'll have you begin.
Oh, I mean, I think Heather says it all the time to us, but like, everyone wants to play BYU at their best. And so that just gets me excited, because we're not going to have any easy games. We're not going to have any opponents that are, you know, having a rough day. Like, they will come at us with everything they have. And those are the challenges that will just make us better. And the Big 12 has been amazing for this team, for teams in the past years, and for the future. But like, just every single challenge and seeing their teams adjust and our team adjust. And I'm just excited for more challenges.
Coach, what has you excited?
Yeah, I just want to see our team play consistently good. That's what we ask them. Just, can we just be consistently good over time and just keep doing our best, keep chipping away, and good things will happen. But we know we're going to get people's best, and we just need to focus on one play at a time. Focus on the task at hand. What does that mean in this moment, this point, this touch? And then play for each other. And I'm excited to see us come back Saturday and have a great match.
Great to have both of you with us. Take the BYU Sports Nation karma. Go dominate.
Take
if you
it.
Choose to not hear your coach when she's saying tip, tip, and you want to kill a ball, do your thing, Claire.
Thanks.
Thanks for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
The 21st-ranked BYU women's volleyball team will host Houston tomorrow at 3 Eastern, specifically on ESPN+. After the break, the man calling the BYU-Arizona football game on ESPN, Mike Cousins, discusses the matchups that matter the most between the Cougars and Wildcats. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
BYU Cougars visit Arizona.
Yeah, this is a different Arizona team than we're used to the last couple years.
See, when Arizona Stadium gets rocking, it is a heck of an environment.
I do expect this game to be a one-score game.
Very well could be that. In the rain, not in the rain. We'll figure that out, too. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I am Jerem Jordan. Tomorrow night's game is on ESPN2 at 8 Eastern. You can watch Kirk Morrison, Don Davenport, and our next guest, who is the play-by-play. He is Mike Cousins on BYU Sports Nation. Mike, thanks for taking the time, man.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
The story going into the game is kind of the weather. What are you hearing about this, and what are you expecting?
A wide variety of things that are possible. Basically, it could be somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 inches of rain, but that's like a very small percentage, somewhere between 1 to 2 inches of rain. And from what I read this morning from the National Weather Service, as I really geeked out and got into their nitty gritty, is it might come down really heavy and then dissipate. So as Brent Brennan, the Arizona head coach, said yesterday, we can play through anything. Like, the U.S. Postal Service will deliver in sleet, snow, rain, whatever the case might be. No lightning, and everybody's happy.
BYU is expecting a bunch of rain. They're preparing for it, too. Do you think that could mean a heavy run game if it is a downpour?
Yeah, I think definitely if one of the teams takes an early lead, they'll lean into that more. But both of these teams like to throw the ball, too. I think it certainly favors BYU with the way that LJ Martin is such a downhill runner that's built into their attack, that they're able to, for lack of a better term, to ground and pound things away. So I certainly don't know that it favors either team, that they're going to go away from what they do. But in the event of a team taking a lead, I've got to think that they lean more heavily into that for sure.
And so far, you know, neither team is kind of top even 90 in strength of schedule, but have fared pretty well, 4-1 and 5-0 respectively. Desert Swarm is back, question mark. This Arizona defense looks pretty good, haven't allowed a passing touchdown. Chase Roberts told me earlier this week, hey, that's going to end. We're going to score a passing touchdown against Arizona. What do you expect in that matchup of a very good secondary against the BYU passing offense, which really broke out against West Virginia?
I definitely feel like this is the game that the levee breaks, and not like full on the dam falls down and all the water comes through, but at least there's going to be some cracks where BYU does find the end zone through the air. With the way that Bear Bachmeyer passed last week, and we can go on and on about his poise and how good he started the year, but to throw for 351 yards and come close to a couple of BYU records, that's been phenomenal. Now, Arizona's defense has certainly helped them a long way, that they've gone 16 of 20 quarters where they have not allowed the opponent to score. Three of the first five teams they faced have not hit 100 passing yards through the air. So that's been really impressive, that the way that they've started this year. But I think that with the combination of guys that Bachmeyer has to throw to, maybe he'll hit his brother for the first brother-to-brother touchdown, Carson Ryan too. I think it's just too good of an attack to be able to not find the end zone through the air this week.
We're expecting that brother-to-brother touchdown at some point. It's only happened, we think, one other time in BYU history. That would be Baylor and Gunnar Romney couple of years ago at BYU. So perhaps this is the game. We'll see. We're talking to Mike Cousins of ESPN, who will call the game on ESPN2 tomorrow night at 8 Eastern time. Bear Bachmeyer's been spectacular. We thought he would be good as a freshman, but you kind of get great freshmen on a different scale. But he's just been straight up good. Turned it over a little bit last week, but what are your impressions of what he's done through five games?
Well, the thing that has been most impressive to me, I think, is just the way that he became the starter on such a short timeline of coming over from Stanford, having not a ton of time to learn the playbook, and then beating out two guys who had more experience than he did. And I was thinking about this in preparation for our conversation today, is one of the things that I really admire about Coach Satake relative to other college football coaches is just how even he is all the time. It's about, we're going to go out week by week, we're going to do our work, we're going to, you know, take it with an even approach. And I feel like Bear Bachmeyer very much embodies what his head coach has. And it's such an even and calm approach. And then I heard on one of the interviews that you guys did with him after practice in recent days, was talking about how he'll go out and crack a joke in the huddle. And like, that's something that you don't do unless you're really comfortable getting out there. Because if you're not comfortable with who you are and what you're doing and who you're leading, you're just going to really try and stick to the facts. And he hasn't done that. And the fact that I think the BYU football account put this out, that him and Robert Griffin in 2008 are the only Big 12 quarterbacks in their first five career games to throw for at least five touchdowns, rush for at least five touchdowns. Those are really impressive numbers. And you've got to think that this is not even the full arsenal that he's been able to work with so far in terms of the playbook. So there's highly good odds that it gets better from here. What has been interesting to me is the conversation around the strength of schedule, because as we know, it has not been tremendously difficult for BYU yet. The easiest strength of schedule in the Big 12 now becomes the hardest schedule in the Big 12. And I know A-Rod talked about this week that this might be the toughest six-game stretch in BYU history. So my mind got thinking, let me ask our research department about that. They came back to me with these next six games are the 39th most difficult six-game stretch for any team in college football this year, an average team and their expected winning percentage among these next six games. So it's not to say that it's not difficult relative to BYU because of how good the Big 12 is this year, but so I guess it's just to say other teams have more difficult six-game stretches.
Yeah, that's interesting, because right now all of them are 4-1 or 5-0. We're expecting many of those to be ranked teams when BYU gets there. So that's interesting that it's 39th, but BYU as a Power 4 team now has never had this kind of schedule, let alone good quality there, as we talked to Mike Cousins of ESPN. Turnovers will be an interesting conversation in this one. Arizona very good at them, 11 takeaways, 7 picks. BYU kind of kept West Virginia in the game with 3 giveaways last week. What role do you feel giveaways and takeaways will play in this one?
Well, Arizona has really turned up the pressure under Danny Gonzalez, their new defensive coordinator, who was on staff last year coaching the linebackers. But the 7 interceptions that they have this year is one fewer than they had in 12 games all of last year. And I thought that was something that, you know, we're going to meet with both coaching staffs later on today. And I do want to ask Kalani Sitake about that, of how much he emphasized this week finishing the game, because both teams played inferior opponents last week. West Virginia's got everybody on their roster who's in a crucial situation hurt this year. Oklahoma State has had the wheels fall off with Mike Gundy getting fired. And so those are the types of games where I think you have to prove to yourself we're able to finish these games and not make silly mistakes where we're going to hurt ourselves, because those are the moments in preparation for later on in the season. And like today, where you're 5-0 versus 4-1, and teams that feel like they have a shot for the Big 12 championship game, and certainly BYU does, that you can't make those mistakes, because they may not hurt you against the team that's going to finish the season with 4 wins, but they will hurt you, especially if you get into a situation like last year where you have 4 teams that end up tied for first, and it's the third or fourth tiebreaker that determines who plays in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah, it really feels like a swing game given how tough the rest of the season is for BYU. By the way, it's the 50th birthday today for one Kalani Sitake, so I'm wondering what you're going to get him for his birthday.
Well, we're meeting with them at 5:00 here Mountain Time, so I've got some time. Maybe go out, get a get some cake at the grocery store. This is interesting. I'm curious how many college football games have ever had this matchup where his middle name, Fifita, is the last name of the opposing team's quarterback.
Good one.
I wonder how many times that has happened in college football history.
That's a really good one. And early in his career, he would wear that on his on the back of his jersey, and then he went Sitake by the end. But yeah, Kalani Fifita Sitake is how he was known as a young player. He was a great fullback. He had good hands as well. He was awesome. Mike, we appreciate the time. Have a great call on ESPN2 tomorrow night. And hopefully it is indeed at 8 Eastern time.
We can only keep our fingers crossed. we'll have our Red Bull ready to go.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Mike Cousins of ESPN, we appreciate the time. If you miss any interviews, shows, Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com. Download the free BYU TV app as well. What do you believe a win over Arizona would mean for BYU season? More responses to our question of the day are after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation on Game Day Eve.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation from Provo and Tucson. Jerem Jordan and Spencer Linton. Happy 50th birthday, as mentioned a moment ago, to Kalani Sitake. He's a great dude, the perfect BYU coach. He's doing a great job. He wanted to be the Polynesian Lavelle. So far, so good, Spence.
No doubt about that. I hope Coach feels absolutely spoiled today. This is a happy time of year for him, especially happy because his team is 5-0. They got a win for Kalani in his birthday weekend,
I know,
right?
I guarantee he'd say, I don't need cake, although I'll eat it because I love food, but I want to win at Arizona. Our question of the day, what would a win over Arizona mean for BYU season? At Cosmo De Cougar on X, it means one more year that the Wildcats have gone against Kalani and lost, and that the ghost of Jake Oldroyd is smiling upon us. Jake's still with us, which is great. Jake Oldroyd. Carry that great energy right into this. That's awesome. Our Elite Voice today is presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, at KC_CougarX. The hype train keeps picking up steam. Destination Arlington is starting to appear on the distant horizon. Whew. I can't quite say that even if BYU wins. Ooh. They got a tough schedule coming after that, but keep it going. Today's Rising Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Let's give it to the Cougs Care Service tailgate. We've pointed it out on several shows before. Every time we come on a road trip, BYU alumni is so heavily involved with the communities they visit in remarkable ways. Specifically here in Tucson, fans who attend are invited to donate new or gently used children's books and non-perishable food items for the Sunnyside Foundation, benefiting Sunnyside Elementary Schools and the Sunnyside Community Food Pantry. I love that these things continue to happen so consistently, Jerem.
We've got about 20 seconds before we need to start our close. Are you more concerned about the weather or Arizona's defense in this game?
I'm more concerned about the weather. I think that if this game gets postponed in any capacity, please know, heaven forbid, it always benefits the home team more because you're in your home locker room. You know, it's your home digs. Like, the road team, I feel like, is always at a disadvantage in bad weather situations.
Expect Cougar Nation to be there, though. It should be fun. Great stuff, Spence. Our thanks to today's guests, Tyler Batty, Heather Olmstead, Claire Little-Chambers, Mike Cousins of ESPN. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. The conversation continues 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. For Spencer, I am Jeremy. Shout out to Matt Bushman, the Tucson native. See you tomorrow for the Cougars and Wildcats pregame at 6 Eastern time. Go Cougs and get to 6-0.